Can you turn your mic up on the thing? Oh shit.
Keep talking. Closer.
Talk to it in your. Put it toward your mouth.
Hello.
Closer in your mouth.
It's like in my mouth.
Touch it to your lips.
Put it deeper.
It touches to my lips.
Yeah.
Put your lips around it.
I don't want to.
Perfect.
Welcome to Meow FM.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Joey the Mechanical Boy.
No, I was going to do an introduction.
Go on. Sorry. Anyway, it was fake.
I don't want to.
Autism isn't real. It was all fake.
It's a psyop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We're on Meow FM,
and we're here with Sally. Sally Old? Or Olds?
Olds with an S, yeah.
Plural.
Yeah, plural.
Yeah. Sally Olds, welcome.
Thank you.
Also with Alex Ross, formerly
Yeah, yeah. I'm short in my name so that the wealth managers can't find me.
Really?
Wow. Really? Well, Brennan cool. Just doxed you pretty hard.
I can beep it out. I can beep it out.
Okay.
Do you think that they have good. Like name checks running for you that do podcasts too?
what? I don't know. What? I guess maybe if you were to search Alex Rossiter Offshore Finance, maybe like something related to that piece would come up. So that's why I shorted my name so that, you know, I'm taken seriously cool. for the purposes of the thesis.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're taking you both very seriously. I read your essay today.
Yeah, so you guys are here because we want to talk about your essay that's coming out in Homintern, right?
Homintern.soy.
Yeah, cool.
Although we haven't been in touch with them for 2 months and it's 6 months overdue and 7,000 words over the...
Really?
Shit, you did a Caroline Calloway.
I didn't know that there was a word limit.
Well, we initially proposed like 3,000 words, but it's pushing like 9,500.
It's long. It's bigger than my honors thesis.
They're going to have to print more web pages.
I did honors in art, so fine art, so you know.
Yeah,
just wrote about
I just wrote fart like 3,000 times.
Yeah.
Wait, before we start, do you guys understand the NTEU thing?
We've already started.
I truly do not, and I like can't. I need someone to explain it to me.
Yeah, what is happening? Yeah.
The NTEU. I guess they put out a jobs framework.
Okay.
It's called the Jobs Framework, and it's about it's kind of about concessions for university staff. Like staff, it'd take I think it was 15% or 20% salary, 20% salary cuts, and some casuals would lose their jobs, which would be privileged by fixed term staff. And there's just like a kind of concession package that the National Council at the NTU organized with university vice chancellors and stuff. But Melbourne University like voted no, and I think heaps of unis have voted no, so I don't know if it will happen.
So no bailout?
No, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think the universities are getting some government money, but yeah, at Melbourne Uni at least, we don't know how much.
Why
they're
did
getting.
They vote no?
Well, I think Melbourne Uni branch voted no, and then afterwards Melbourne Uni itself, like the chancellery, turned down the jobs framework as well, because they were saying, oh no, we're going to save your jobs, we won't make you redundant. But then they've released their own variations to the Melbourne University Enterprise Agreement yesterday, which is about redundancies.
Turns out they are making some redundancies.
I think it was a PR stunt, actually.
No one could have seen
really
that.
Yeah,
so they're going to charter flight out the international, the charter flight them back in.
I don't know how they're doing that. I guess a lot of classes have gone online, so I guess international students are studying from overseas.
Okay.
But I don't know how they can get back into Australia.
I don't think they are. I think they're just cutting the job, like the former jobs of the people who would teach them.
Really?
Well, my friend in media studies, which is like 70% international students, is probably going to lose his job because they're just shifting the existing work onto permanence and like cutting the casuals as much as possible.
Right.
We should start an offshore university.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay. Can I be the dean?
Yeah, what are you the dean of?
Yeah, what do you teach? What are you the dean of?
Illiteracy.
I'm just going to mute you.
You can be the janitor, Alex.
I'm going to teach like a class in like the feminism of memes or something.
Yeah. That's cool. The feminism meme. Like, what's your take on like the guy who's like turning back and looking at the red dress chick and then looking away from
Exactly. People can write a dissertation on YouTube comments.
Yeah, exactly. That's gonna be our entire university.
Yeah. It's people who get doxxed.
University of like cake faced
like
Welsh
a bot
women.
University. Like the admission is just like a selfie
and a picture of the cover of your thesis that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's all in millennial pink on the paper.
And a tiny bit of blue.
A mere handful.
With, like talons as well, like clutching. She's
just got an eagle's claw. It's kind of hard to notice with the zoom.
We were watching an eagle video earlier, actually.
Yeah.
Stunning eagle.
Yeah, the world's biggest eagle in Papua New Guinea.
They pop a GoPro on it.
How big is that?
No, they're just holding it, and it's like clutching onto the gloves, the eagle gloves. Cool.
And then they go up, they climb the tree into its nest and go sit in the nest for a while.
That's so creepy.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the Bling Ring, but for birds.
The blurred ring.
What's it called when you like do eagle? What is that called? What's the word for that? Like it's birding?
Falcon? There's
bird watching?
I guess that's for falcons.
Falconry, yeah.
Falconry.
It'll come back.
Are falcons eagles? I don't know. Like eagle.
I don't know. They may as well be.
I like birding.
Yeah. Sounds like fishing. Sounds like
falconry could come back like as like an aristocratic hobby now that you can't like do anything else. Because you just go to a field and like fly a bunch of birds around.
We should get you a budgie, Callum.
Why?
And a falcon like claw, like a kind of love.
I saw this TikTok of like this like tween eco-fascist who her whole TikTok is about how she opposes golf courses. Did anyone else see that?
Yeah, I did see it. I didn't really watch it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because
it's her opposition.
I think it's like so that it stops like the land being owned by wealthy like one percenters or whatever, and it gives back to like making a colonial garden like Central Park or whatever, you know, for the people, you know.
And Trump keeps golfing at inappropriate moments, I think.
Yes, and the guy who runs his Twitter is like the golf caddy. Like, that guy wouldn't have a job if there was no golf course, you know. There would be no Trump Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Is that true?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
What's his name? Don.
J. Trump.
Don, I'll fill it in later. Don's the servicer. So.
It's redacted.
It's Don redacted. But yeah, his golf caddy, who's loyalist member of his like cohort or whatever, he manages a social media account.
His most trusted.
Like, his most
minion.
Trusted. Yeah, that's why he's always sharing those cool.
He's
memes.
The Jizz Lane of the Trump Foundation. Wait, how do we say your name?
I keep saying Ghislaine.
Ghislaine.
Glenn?
Glenn.
Because I just say it like Anna says it.
Is it Welsh?
It's French, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, it's French.
The French,
yeah. She was born in France. Welsh. Very cultured lady. That's okay. She played a round of golf in her time.
It's like the French Helen, I think.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Glenn.
Beautiful.
French Helen. That's nice. Yeah. How's your French going, Alex?
It's okay. I guess I haven't used it in a while. I'm trying to think when the last time I spoke French was. It was probably like with Vince, like 2 months ago.
Oh yeah,
it's Sally's birthday.
From Francophiles.
That's cool. Sure. But maybe the last time you used it was in Mauritius. Just a little link there.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you doing in Mauritius?
So Alex is a human geographer.
I actually prefer the title dynamic geographer.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll explain in due course.
Yeah, what's, can you explain to us what that
is? I guess I did some interviews in French. I interviewed wealth managers and on a little tropical island. It's kind of subtropical. And what else did I do? I interviewed the World Bank, two guys from the World Bank. And I interviewed a president. And
President of Mauritius?
The former president, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And some people in government.
Okay.
So Mauritius is one of the offshore... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So Mauritius is one of the offshore places in the article?
No, we don't mention it in the article. Like, there's no link between Mauritius and Epstein. Mm-hmm. Or like any of Epstein's immediate circle, but it's a hotspot kind of booking location for big offshore money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm.
So it was like kind of research for your thesis in like offshore investing and like the tyranny of like the ocean as a
Yeah, the ocean is a medium of power.
Yeah.
A fluid regime is power.
Yeah. It's a tax haven basically. Mm-hmm. So, like, some really wealthy people will go there for holidays, and then they'll meet with the wealth managers, who have offices there, and then they'll kind of do their finances and kind of tuck the money away in different places, like the money of really rich people, and play golf with them and go swimming and whatever.
So, who are the people? Can you spill that tea?
I feel like I got in some proximity to wealthy people, but I mean, like, most I was interviewing wealth managers are like the financial butlers of really rich people. Like, one wealth manager I interviewed was the manager for the De Beers family, or like, their surname isn't De Beers, but they own like the De Beers like mining and jewelry company. And they're like some of the richest people in South Africa. I can't remember what the actual last name is, but I met their wealth manager.
Did wealth manager become like a profession like in parallel to like the offshore banking? Like, are they twinned as...
Yeah, not, I guess not really. Like, offshore banking kind of came about, like, this became really kind of powerful during neoliberalism, I guess, with like the deregulation that was allowed in the financial sector, allowed for money to go offshore. But wealth management, it's kind of like goes back to like even as far as like Chinese people thousands of years ago trying to avoid taxes by, you know, sailing to a little island away from, you know, wherever they're living in mainland China. And then during the Crusades, there were trustees that were entrusted with looking after the fortunes of the Crusaders. And then, so it kind of has a lineage, a really long historical lineage. And now, I guess, wealth management is really offshore since neoliberalism's allowed it to go offshore. Yeah.
So it's like, as long as there's been wealth managers.
Yeah, I think, yeah, more or less.
Is the distinction between wealth managers and accountants, like, one of scale?
Yeah, I guess, like, they do some accounting, I suppose. But I guess wealth managers, it's more like, whereas an accountant will just crunch a whole bunch of numbers. I feel like wealth management has, like, the big social aspect to it as well, like, about kind of getting trust from really wealthy people, and you kind of have to befriend the family and you know, the children and... You know, whoever's, you know, they like spend time with really wealthy people and gain their trust and then do all of their accounts and trusts and financing.
So it's like more like a social kind of endeavor than it is like actually managing anything.
Yeah, I guess they do. They kind of have to grow the fortunes as well. So they do know how to trade stocks and things and do finance, but there's a huge social component, more so than in accounting, I think.
And that's where like the trust comes in, like the word trust. You have to trust each other, have trust in each other.
Yeah.
So they're like, what's their like professional background?
I guess there's like there's this school called the Society of Trust and Estate Practitioners, which is based in Switzerland, and a lot of wealth managers get certified at this Swiss wealth management college. Or like existing wealth managers can do like step courses, and once they have a step qualification, they get listed on this directory, which I dug into for my thesis. And then the like really wealthy people use the directory to find their wealth managers and then get to know each other.
Wow, what the fuck is going on with the Swiss? Like, they're the most fucking evil country of all time.
They get off the hook, like no one talks about them.
All Swiss artists are Marxists too, but it's like they all have like seven houses.
And they live really in some weird little like country where they like use like their own like currency and like
yeah
like weird little cults and stuff. Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Do they share a currency with anyone else?
I don't think so.
And
the Swiss passport, just like go anywhere, do whatever.
What's their currency?
Swiss francs. It's like really like inflated.
True.
So Sally, what's your background in
as a wealth manager?
Yeah.
the wealth.
No. I don't come from any kind of like financial education background or anything like that, but I'm really interested in wealth and you know, increasingly in like political economy, and I'm kind of learning over the last year how the economy works for the first time in my life. Mm-hmm. Come from like a full arts background, you know, and I've always written and teach creative writing, and but yeah, all my writing is about kind of like, you know, Marxist adjacent bullshit and labor and work and stuff like that. So I guess I'm interested in it from came to it from that angle. And also came to it from the Epstein case, because that was, you know, like, I mean, I guess we should say what we're talking about. So we're talking about...
Yes.
We definitely should.
So
the oceanic feeling.
You guys, wrote this article on Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
So is this coming from, like, research that you did in, like, your Epstein Truther group?
I guess sort of.
Like, where did it all... begin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was an early attender, an early adopter. I think I was there in the first sesh. So everyone sort of dropped away.
Like
the core remained.
I feel like we had at least three full sessions.
Yeah.
And then it dwindled.
Was that a red pilling moment for you guys? When like was that moment like what did you think when you first like heard about the case? Were you like, oh shit, like my whole life has changed, I need to like wake up all the sheeple? Or like,
yeah,
I mean, I feel like I've been pilled for a while, and probably Alex has too, but it was a galvanizing moment, you know, when Epstein died, was killed or killed himself in prison. It was like kind of an exciting galvanizing moment. And then the Epstein. So the article arose, I guess, like, you know, just from our interest in the Epstein case, but mainly from like Ghislaine. So the article is mostly about Ghislaine Maxwell, like Epstein's madame, procurer, like equally enthusiastic participant in the abuse by all reports. And she's kind of underreported on, and her own kind of like the financial aspect of the Epstein case, I think, has been reported on a lot, but not so much Ghislaine's, and that's kind of what we wanted to do. And look at the ocean as this kind of guiding like force and metaphor and enabling feature of their like fiscal pedophilic crimes.
Yeah. The ocean thing is interesting. It's kind of like the way I was reading in the article is kind of like they... like aside from the seasteading thing, the way that they conceptualize it as like this point of purity or something they need to keep safe from like state intervention. Is that kind of how you guys I mean that's how I was reading it. I don't know, like they need to keep it safe from state intervention, but only so they can then do whatever it is that they do out there.
That's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of the purity thing so much, but that's totally in there. I think I guess the way I think of it, which is probably similar to what you're describing, is like this frontier, like a kind of almost like terra nullius myth, but it's like this is not my phrase, but Aquanalius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where there's like this pure like region that you can go to that hasn't been touched, and like you can do what you want out there. That's the, kind of the guiding mythology.
Yeah,
Atlantis.
Yeah.
Hey, Atlantis.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then under like the gloss of saving it, you also save it from like state intervention or regulation or existing sovereignty, right?
Yeah, well, that's sort of the question, I guess, is like, you know, so Ghislaine has these two charities, Terramar, and they were like ocean conservation charities, but barely did anything, you know, like they didn't give out grants. They just had a website and gave out passports, and you could like buy parcels of ocean.
What was it? They moved like $6,000 for like 1 year, like 10 years
yeah,
or something.
Truly pathetic. Like, even like more depressing than my finances.
Did you figure out how many passports they'd given out? Like what the citizenship is?
No, I think I feel like it was like maybe around 1,000 max.
Not heaps.
Yeah, not that many. But yeah, the sample passport online, yeah, you can look at some samples with people's details on them. And it's called Vera Frisinetti, the sample passport. But it's a photo of Ghislaine. Eyes look quite dark and
wow.
Devious.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Ghislaine is dark Gaia.
She has SSRIs.
Oh,
yeah, actually, that's interesting. The funny thing about Ghislaine or whatever that never sort of appears in the coverage of her is like what her personality was like.
Mm.
It's never like he's always described as like overbearing, but maybe charming and creepy. Yep. But she's just like totally blank.
Yeah. I love how in your article you kind of describe, like for me, like I felt like you were describing her as this like manic pixie human trafficker. Because she's like this it girl who like goes to these parties and was like the best child of like her father who got murdered by the Rothschilds. Is that what you're proposing?
That we let's be clear, we're not alleging anything else.
Allegedly.
Repeating past allegations from other people.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Maria Farmer, who was like the first non-victim survivor of Epstein and Ghislaine, says that Ghislaine told her that her father was murdered by the Rothschilds.
Yeah, I think it's like how like the Sopranos and the Carmines maybe take hits out on each other when they're mad or have kind of debts or have done things that might affect the public image of the family. Sometimes it's just a strategic assassination.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you still like love each other ultimately, you just have to knock somebody off.
Yeah, yeah. Like violence is an accepted part of the business.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so killing someone is just like sending them a particularly aggressive invoice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cancel culture, baby.
Yeah, they didn't. If only they'd just use Twitter, they could have just canceled it.
Yeah. Ghislaine's Twitter.
Yeah.
Run by a golf caddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like D-teenager. <to rape>, you know.
Is there much like insight into what she's actually like? Like through any of the reporting of like what the victims say or anything?
Yeah, I guess. What does she seem like? She kind of seems like she has borderline, I guess.
Yeah, she's like, you know, I don't know. Like the most extensive report about it is like Maria Farmer, who spent heaps of time with them. But like, I want like a 6-hour like deep dive into someone just like explaining what she's like, because it's still sort of unclear, but. She seems really lame, like...
Right, yeah.
Ghislaine.
Yeah, Ghislaine.
It's like Ghislaine. There's like that Maria Farmer interview on Truanon where she talks about it, and she kind of makes her out to be very tacky.
Yeah, tacky, she's corny.
Hiding dildos around the house and like hanging upside down like a bat. It's like this like sex mansion
like
was like full of
like
party tricks. Yeah. Where they're like, oh, we're crazy. We bought all this stuff from Party City. Like, we're going to rape you now.
She's like a feminist performance artist.
She does have very unconfident body language.
Yeah.
Like she's very
slumped.
Like round
so
the
right.
shoulders. Yeah.
Never thought of that before.
Yeah, she's pretty awkward to watch at the UN if you watch her UN speech. She's pretty awkward.
Terrible public speech.
Have you seen her TED Talk?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I just read in your essay that she did them.
It's truly awful.
Is it about the tarot?
Yeah, it's about Terramar. It's about the need for ocean conservation, and it's all leading up to like joining Terramar.
Mm. Who did better, Rachel Dolezal's TED Talk or?
I don't know. I haven't watched Rachel's.
Yeah, I haven't seen Rachel's.
Oh, true.
What's it like?
Pretty good.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen.
She just cries about how she got abused.
She's just pissed off for being cancelled for being transhumanist or whatever.
Transracial.
Yeah. Transracialist. She wants to freeze her dick.
Yeah. True.
Much like Epstein.
So, can you be a Marxist and a transhumanist?
Great question.
I don't know how to take that on.
I think you can. I think, I don't know. It's hard. I don't know if it exists in practice because I feel like all the sort of transhumanists are like kind of, a lot of them are kind of ex-Marxists. Mm-hmm. And also I feel like it involves a lot of exploitation of like labor.
Right.
Especially in this kind of scenario, like the people we're talking about, like Peter Thiel and Patry Friedman and stuff, you know, like Silicon Valley, like deeply embedded in Silicon Valley, like ticks, which is so exploitative. So I feel like Peter Thiel and everyone, they're so rich, like there's nothing they can't do really except die, you know, like except live forever. So it's maybe like the final frontier.
The thing with Thiel is really weird. Like, so he does that Palantir thing, right? Which is like government contracted. Like they got the FBI's venture capitalism firm to like, that was their first round of funding. But it's like he's like visibly, I mean, not maybe not visibly, but like anecdotally fraternizes with like whoever, Moldbug or whatever.
Mm.
And it seems like at some point, wouldn't that fuck up your government funding? Like, doesn't that at some point like mess with your government contracts to do whatever bizarre military technology you're doing?
I don't know, like, do these people read, like niche right-wing blogs, though? Like, maybe they just simply don't Thiel. Know, like, yeah, like, oh, Thiel and Moldbug are friends for sure, but, would the people giving them the contracts even necessarily know or care who Moldbug is?
They would do background checks, right?
Yeah, they would, hey, yeah.
Yeah, did Moldbug speak to Steve Bannon or something? Is there some connection there?
I think the
idea is that Bannon was the conduit, right? Bannon was somehow had his feelers out for whatever and would feed it back to Trump and stuff.
Didn't they hang out on election night? Was that Bannon? And and Moldbug?
Maybe.
I think they like partied in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about Thiel as well and saying that Thiel was like good. He was solid.
Mm-hmm.
So the offshore money thing in connection with Epstein and how that helps him operate. This is like the first. Is this the first article to concentrate on that, or like the first thing?
Yeah, I don't think I haven't seen any articles that frame Jeffrey Epstein as a wealth manager, which is what I thought our unique take was in the article, because he really obviously was a wealth manager. He had a wealth management firm to assist Leslie Wexner to become even richer in exchange for commissions. And they acted like Wexner talks about how Epstein was, you know, great at looking at patterns in finance, whereas Wexner was good at looking at patterns in the world of fashion. And they traveled together in the Virgin Islands, like yachted together. And Epstein had his wealth management suite in the Virgin Islands. You could just, it's just incredibly obvious that that's what they were doing. They were good friends, but they had this financial relationship where Epstein took charge of the finances because Wexner admits that he's got no financial knowledge, really.
Yeah, and like the ocean setting, like, do you think that that's like something nominal that they chose to have it on island, because like they could have probably done on compounds, right? Or do you think it is like a motivating, like there is something intrinsic about these islands that feeds into all this,
like some kind of like something spiritual as well as financial about it,
or something the idea of like island?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of physically important because like it meant that the girls couldn't escape, like, so there's like, you know, one story of like a girl trying to swim for freedom and then getting swept up by like his handlers on a jet ski. So it's
really
like, yeah, it's,
oh wow,
really,
she tried
really
to
dark.
Escape by swimming
and shit. Totally shark infested.
Wexner's handlers or Epstein's
handlers, so that was on Little St. James. Grim.
Hell.
So grim.
That sounds
cool. So imagine being that the guy whose job it is to like be on a jet ski scooping up chicks, making minimum wage.
Awesome. Is he part of a union?
my handlers are unionizing.
Have you read those articles about the staffing on mega yachts and how they have like a massive death rate?
I mean, I know that there's a huge, like, I know from reading that, like, David Foster Wallace article about cruise ships, which is such a great article if you haven't read it.
Oh, I haven't.
It's so funny, but, like, cruise ships have an incredibly high rate of suicide.
Really?
So, not even workers, but, like, people cruising.
People jumping overboard. They kill themselves on the trip.
Yeah, there's something, and he argues that there's something despair-inducing about a cruise.
Holy shit.
And maybe it's the same for yachts, but what do you know about?
Well, the mega yachts have, like, staffing of, like, 100, and they just pick them up, like, often it's, like, English kids who, like, want to go party in the Bahamas and stuff, and it's, like, you can kind of get paid, you don't have to have really any credentials or whatever, and they, like, pick up the jobs off, like, I guess, like, the English version of Gumtree or whatever, but like they die all the time, like they fall over the edge or they party too much when they stop, and like they just constantly dying. But because these yachts are always on the move, and like the people who like own them don't have their names attached to any of the property, and like there's just so many levels of intermediaries, like in terms of like the hiring process, that there's no, and they just throw the bodies off the side of the ship. And there's like so many deaths, like, you know, like 15, 20 a year.
If they turn that into a reality show, I think that's...
like Lindsay Lohan's Club, but for yachts.
Yeah.
And if you lose, you die.
Maybe, or maybe they'll live, you know. I don't know.
Especially now, the idea of being like a dandy or a flaneur is kind of funny, because it's kind of like not really. I mean, in art, that's sort of like a primary motivation in art, like whatever, the Baudelairean dandy or whatever. Like you wander around the city and you see things, and that's kind of like your like artistic telos or whatever. But like in terms of like now, you can't do that. But especially within like globalization, you also can't, you can only, that's so narrow to only be able to do that within the city. Like really you want to be like a global dandy.
I wonder, if Epstein was a Baudelairean dandy. Maybe Epstein like was Baudelairean in that he like kind of watched kind of women's suffering from afar, but was kind of like walking around jolly and
he was like a flaneur,
detached.
Yeah,
for women's pain.
There is like a there is a detached air to both of them, right? To Epstein and Ghislaine, there is like a lack of, like he's sort of a bit like, I don't know if you call him smug in his photos and videos, but there's sort of like a self-possession there.
Yeah.
And she's sort of a bit crouched in and like a bit like beleaguered or something.
Totally.
But both of them also have like kind of like a lack of internal quality, or like there's like sort of a lack of affect happening with them that like is weird when you see them interacting with other people.
Yeah, they both kind of seem like kind of like, they're putting too much effort. They're kind of like weak-willed or something. In some sense.
Yeah.
Like when you, if you watch the video of like Donald Trump talking to Epstein, Donald Trump is like screaming in his ear at a party, and he's just like kind of nodding his head.
He's like clearly on some kind of uppers, like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He's like out of his mind.
Which is very dandyish.
Yeah. It's
just a shrug. But just to move.
Oh yeah, yeah. But Epstein is so like nonchalant.
Epstein was popping perks.
Yeah.
To move with fluidity, like through, you know, whatever problem you have, you just shrug through it.
Or fluid like the ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess like Galen as well. Seems her Galen's affect. It's kind of like she kind of doesn't. Yeah, like when she's on the UN and she's in her TED talk, she's kind of like stomped and kind of stupid. And like, it's kind of like, even when she's like, gives like interviews post like her father's death, I feel like she's kind of seems like kind of detached and flimsy and kind of like, she's kind of like when Margaret Thatcher fainted.
Yeah, there's something, you're right, like there's something missing. They're like a facade of people.
Yeah, they kind of have a bit of like a childishness to them as well. Like when that video of where Epstein comes out of his mansion and he like hustles down the street with that chick, he kind of is acting like a sort of cocky teenager or something, like with the big jacket and stuff.
Yeah. I wonder if all rich people are a little bit childish.
I guess it's like any scene.
Yeah,
like if you think of the microcosm of like the Melbourne art scene or something, there's like pedophiles.
Yeah,
it's the awkward shy people.
Name names.
No, Sally Olds.
Oh my god.
You know, but you accept these odd characteristics of these people because of your common interest or something.
That's like it's like when people are like, totally. Oh, there's these conspiracies that there's a cabal with rich people where like everyone's doing all this fucked up stuff. It's like, obviously that's real. Like you see it in front of you all the time. Yeah. Like why would it be different because they're wealthy? Like, are you supposed to be responsible because you're wealthy?
I mean, I don't know anyone who's systematically a pedophile.
You don't know anyone who's...
to say that for legal reasons.
Allegedly.
You know we have like 40 listeners, I think.
Four of which are pedophiles.
for sure.
Statistically speaking.
All of them are dandies, though.
That excuses it.
Yeah.
And two of those listeners are Ghislaine and Prince Andrew.
So what do you guys think is like next
for
Ghislaine?
For Ghislaine.
She can't like hide out in her enclave for, you know,
years.
She's not going to survive forever in that like Rothschild protected Israel home
or
that's protected by sharpshooters. Yeah, and Dobermans and sharpshooters. So she's probably like on heaps of Valium and probably she's like just watching TV.
Watching Tiger King.
Yeah, she would.
She's
like,
about to watch the Epstein documentary that comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, which character would she relate to in Tiger King?
Probably that woman, right?
Carol.
Yeah.
Carol Baskin.
She might be the one. She did,
true.
Yeah, and that she did like terrible things, but she's very, very, plays innocent and flimsy on camera.
Yeah. She is a Carol, yeah.
Do you guys think that we're heading towards... cashless society?
I think we are, and I think the pandemic has only accelerated it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what comes out, because like I was reading this article the other day that was saying like there's been a bunch of drug busts in LA recently, and all of the drug busts come up with like heaps of cash, whereas before they would have all the cash would have been smuggled through like whatever laundering back into Mexico, but they can't do it at the moment, so there's just all this cash piling up and all of it's turning up in the busts. But obviously people will figure out a way around that or whatever, but like what happens with like cashless society?
I don't know, in terms of what, in terms of like crime or
surveillance or
I guess like all of these things,
finance.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't know,
because like, you know, Bitcoin and all the cryptos are meant to kind of be like nominally untraceable, like that's in doubt, but that's how they're designed, is to be anonymous, so that should do it. But but yeah, I don't know, what do you think, like what's gonna happen with the tax havens and stuff?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, what's happening with tax havens, like I wonder I guess, I don't know, Bitcoin, like cryptocurrency isn't even anonymous because you can track it through the blockchain. And I guess the more cardless society, cashless society is more surveillance and tracking. And I want, yeah, like tax havens and offshore finance. I don't, yeah, I don't know how like a virus would coronavirus would impact that.
Mm. I mean, surely human trafficking has stopped for the moment, right? Because commercial air travel has been closed, basically done.
Yeah, not done. It's in the private jets.
Stopped. Yeah,
in the private jets.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
I know, like I don't know, universities have their endowment funds, which generally $1 billion+ at least in Melbourne. They have them in tax havens. So like maybe if universities need to get their funds out now, they need to go and get the wealth managers, whoever in the tax havens is kind of distributed and kind of organize their financing to kind of liquidate, give it back, whatever.
Who do you think is Duncan Maskell's wealth manager?
Duncan's
the VC of
Melbourne. We could probably find that on Google search on like LinkedIn, kind of searching him, and maybe someone on LinkedIn would cite like, I've worked for Duncan Maskell, and then that person's a big finance guy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's really doable.
What about VC? Did you guys go to VCA or?
I did. Callum did.
I don't.
Who's, and I went to Monash.
Who's
to Monash.
The like head honcho there?
The dean, they just changed him. I can't remember his name. He's sort of like an inconsequential Melbourne painter. But the dean of VCA sort of is pretty hands-off and like doesn't really have much to do with it. The sort of like head of the school was, what's her name, Jan?
Jan Murray.
Jan Murray, but they just changed it to Kate Dorr. As far as I know, VCA is like really fucked.
In what way?
Well, because it's like you can't, it doesn't really work to do social distancing at art school. You can't really, it doesn't really.
And they weren't prepared for like any classes to like go online or.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't even have studios, which is, seems like the appeal of going.
They do still have studios, I think.
But I don't think you're allowed to go there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It sucks.
And they also have quite a lot of elderly staff and like, I don't know. And also VCA. Is always like losing money, and like they merged with like the design school like 3 years ago.
Yeah, you get more daddies, more kind of pedophilic daddies paying for students to go to art school.
Totally.
Yeah,
art is going to be a weird one. What happens with that?
I mean, I'm pretty sure you have to pay like a lot of tuition money for the VCA high school, and then if you're taking like just students straight from that, it's just going to be like only wealthy people. Yeah, which I think is probably like a good idea for most people, because you don't get like disenfranchised, like poor, like young people going to art school and then getting out and realizing that there's nothing else. That was like a complete waste of time because they have no money. So it'll probably be good for like artists' well-being, but not good for art.
Yeah, true.
There's a funny connection between art and the seasetting thing too. It's kind of connected to art schools, like with like Black Mountain College or whatever. It was like, the impulse to like secede, like, you know, like the secession movement in Vienna and stuff, like the sort of like, like the modernist drive towards autonomy or whatever does it, that there is sort of like that aspect to like the extreme libertarianism of like Rahiva or like the seasteading or whatever.
It looks the same like as this like fascistic like socialite like groups of like people who like are gatekeeping like little like societies and whatever. It's like the same as like a art scene or like Städelschule or something. It's like it wouldn't work,
but on like kind of different level of intensity, it kind of mirrors these other circles.
Yeah it's got the same like symbolism, pagan symbolism. So what do you think will happen to the Epstein case, like, or Ghislaine? What do you think, like, is like, do you think anything will change?
Well, the latest thing that's happened is Ghislaine has, like, she came out of briefly out of hiding through her lawyers 2 months ago to sue Epstein's estate because she said that she was his property manager and that he had promised to pay her money for managing his properties. And at the same time, a coalition of Epstein's victims were also suing the estate for reparations. Mm. So, you know, in the unlikely event that she won, she would be taking money from the victims, which is pretty dark.
So that's an interesting crack in her situation then, because she's not infinitely financed.
Seems like it. Hey, yeah. Well, she was living off her dad, Robert Maxwell's trust, and I don't know how long that lasted for. And then she was living, I think, you know, largely off Epstein. But it's kind of unclear where, if any, her personal money came from.
And there's no one willing to, like, pay for her to not go, like, some kind of public break in terms of being involved in a court case.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, they can't. Like, they don't... I don't know. Maybe there aren't, like... Money can't buy PR that's efficient enough to wipe Ghislaine of her dirty crimes.
Yeah, Terramar won't cut it anymore as a reputation launderer. Like, she needs some serious shit.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Ghislaine. I mean, I guess her sister's on Instagram and her nephews are into mindfulness and yoga and rock stuff. Climbing. And they live, like, in the country in England. Oh, cool. So maybe Ghislaine will just be into mindfulness and get CBT for, like, the next decade.
That sounds relaxing.
We hope not. We hope she gets killed.
We hope that she gets, like, penetrated by a bow and arrow. Like,
she's going to go cottage core.
She's going to get a tiny home.
Yeah.
100%.
Have you guys seen that movie Silent Running?
No,
it's like this like 70s sci-fi movie where it's like it's not really told in the movie. It doesn't really get said why, but like there's some kind of ecological collapse, and they send out all these like spaceships into into space with geodesic domes on them containing all the forests of the world, like different regions, like the Antarctic one and whatever else. And like they just like go further out into space, and then the like governing body of the spaceships like decide sort of on a whim that like, oh, we don't need rainforests anymore. We're just gonna like you guys just need to blow all the rainforests up and come back and like resume services like commercial vehicles or whatever. And then one like renegade gardener on one of the ships like decides to like go solo and like kills all the other people in the spaceship who like want to go back into commercial use and like just flies off into space.
Eco-fascist.
Yeah, literally. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's quite a beautiful image, and I could see that for Ghislaine and the oceans. I could see her like caretaking an oceanic parcel in deep space, like funded by like a Peter Thiel, Elon Musk hybrid funded program.
She's just sitting on a boat with a tiger somewhere.
Yeah, but in space.
Yeah, like she's gonna blow up Jupiter's moon's ocean.
Yeah, she's starting like Terramar, but for like Jupiter's ocean.
She should own an asteroid on it.
I mean, the first SpaceX isn't the first SpaceX like manned flight going in a few weeks.
Really?
So maybe she's on it.
Is that where the people aren't forecast to return? They kind of die out there.
Maybe. I think they're going to return because they're doing in like you a returning sign up, Colin. Rocket. Thank you. I will.
Just kidding.
Meow FM. We should kill yourselves.
KYSFM.
That's a nice sign off.
Yeah.
Main takeaway is that what links Ghislaine to the seasteaders and the secessionists and the libertarians is Ocean Conservation NGO, which is a front for her real interests, which are obscured by her supposed interest in saving the ocean.
And her real interests are some kind of like libidinal, pedophilic, but voyeuristic desire to see other people like fuck little girls. But she has like a total lack of, seeming lack of affect. Like, just robotic sidekick.
Lane made, like, 150 Neopets, like, 10 years ago and just logs on and watches them die. Then leave.
I think Glenn's true ideologies are unbeknownst to her herself.
She's like, but a puppet. She's but a marionette of the global, like, oceanic consciousness. She's Dark Gaia.
As we said. But she wants what Epstein gives her, which is like more contacts so that she can go to more parties.
No, she had all the contacts.
She gives that to Epstein. Oh, as well. Right. Like, that's how he knows the royal family.
Prince Andrew.
she was kind of like the high society ugly duckling, right? Mm, that he totally. Could kind of like co-opt into, I don't know, going to whatever fucked up parties he wanted to go to.
Right.
I think she's a deeply abnormal person as well, in that her brain is kind of deranged. I don't know.
I think she's lost.
She didn't really fit into high society so much as like other members of the royal family.
Mm.
Well, I mean, not that she is a member of the royal family, but
yeah,
she's inbred.
She probably is inbred.
To go back, like kind of goes back to like the It Girl thing and the Warhol thing, because she's kind of like Edie Sedgwick all grown up.
she's
like an abused rich girl,
poor
little rich girl. But like, you know, if Edie Sedgwick hadn't died or whatever, you turn into that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like, why not? And also, like, you know, maybe she wants to be one of those 13-year-old victims, but she can't because she's now, like, I don't know.
Yeah, she wants to be 30? Epstein's object of desire.
I think object are. As yeah, but no, I think she does. Like, I think there's a really warped relationship, like, of being simultaneously, like, his object and his procurer of objects and... Yeah. Also, she wants like a desiring party as well.
Yeah, she wants to abuse the girls for being the objects of desire.
Yeah, that she's not, but once was. But
that Epstein
hopes to
wants.
Be again. She wants whatever Epstein wants, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, like she procures and damages what Epstein wants because there's a lack there between, you know, she wanted to be wanted by Epstein. She thought they were in a relationship in the 90s. But Epstein didn't want her. Epstein had these boundless, perverted desires, and Glenn steps in to fill the lack through procuring children. And she's just like deeply deranged and dislocated and wanting to be desired by Epstein.
Yeah.
She does kind of.
She just wants a boyfriend.
That Phil and
who can blame
boyfriend?
Her?
Yeah. She's a femme cell.
She is. She is femme cell.
She's a little bit like the storyteller from Salo.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, not for ages. I don't remember the storyteller.
Just like, sort of
don't
like...
Don't describe another movie.
please.
Fine.
No, just describe her role, though. Describe her role.
No, it's fine. Oh, we're too long anyway.
I'm just kidding. Yeah,
No, it's all good.
I love you. And I love you, Sally.
Oh,
and I love you, Alex.
Love you too.
Alex thank Ross.
We love you too. Thank you.
That's okay.
It's really delightful.
Our pleasure.
Do you guys have anything to plug?
Yeah, what are you guys to plug?
We have like a laundry list of things to plug.
Yeah. Espadrille watch list.
It's our 25 follower Instagram account.
Nice. Yeah.
Espadrille watch list. Exposing men who wear espadrilles without socks.
Like, show ankle.
Wait, men who wear espadrilles with no socks?
Yeah.
It's transhumanist.
And loafers. Oh,
sorry. I was like, what? Weird.
Yeah, like boat shoes and stuff. Like kind of
lovely.
Those, yeah, like those leather, those clinging leather boat shoes.
Sounds very eco-fascist.
Deeply.
They're aquaphilic in the sense that they really suction to the feet. And the feet are nude and there's no sock in between.
Yeah, it's the slick layer of sweat, like suctioning the foot and the leather.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the new Yeezys that are made of reclaimed ocean plastic?
No.
I've not seen them.
They're pretty cool.
They're good.
But
they're like Crocs, but like H.R. Giger Crocs.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
That sounds good.
They're
sounds
nice,
good.
Yeah.
It sounds like Ghislaine would love to partner with Yeezy to produce this. She had all these,
Ghislaine's
like,
probably a Kanye's farm.
Yeah, true, man.
Yeah. We just want to, you know, hopefully the article will be released. It's called That Oceanic Feeling, and it will be on hominturn.soy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
cool.
Soon.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's one more edit.
One more edit, yeah. That's it, though.
One more edit and then leave it, because it's perfect.
It's perfect the way it is.
Thanks, baby.
Well, hopefully it's out by the time this pod app is out. Okay, bye, everyone.
Bye.
Okay, bye. See ya.